I'm just so excited to be here with you guys this morning. I have the honor of giving you guys this message that the Lord has given me. And you might be wondering, who's this guy with skinny jeans on and he's got holes in his jeans? Well, I'm going to tell you, I got holy jeans because we're in the holy place. Come on. I'm so excited to be here. Jesus is amazing. So a little bit about me. Like I said, my name is Joey King. I work at Crossroads Church in Woodbury on the youth ministry team. And I go to Northwestern up in St. Paul, going to school, be a pastor. And really, I just love Jesus. And I want to tell you guys about Jesus. And so that's why I'm here. And before I get into it, I want to tell you guys thank you. Like Cody was talking about a little bit earlier, camp really does change students' lives, and I'm a living testimony of that. When I was going into my freshman year of college, I went to this summer sizzler camp, and that was where God called me into full-time ministry, and it was really special and really amazing, and the Holy Spirit moves. Yes, it's amazing. Like that's a picture of me and some guys and girls when we were there, and it was really special and really life transformational. And as that video is kind of showing, like it is really fun and really crazy, and you do some gross stuff, but at the same time, like, students encounter God like you couldn't even imagine. So thank you for those of you who have given to that ministry and just continue to do that because you're changing lives. If you've ever heard of Overflow, that's kind of the camp for Overflow. It's the Saturday night ministry here. And if you ever want to come check it out, it's super fun. Jesus is crazy and you should come. But anyway, enough of that. So what I'm here to talk to you guys about this morning is worship. All right, so I'm going to be talking to you exactly this. This is the thing that I feel as the 21st century America church, Americanized church, we have become the most familiar thing is worship to us. And so I'm going to talk to you guys about that. And I think the unique thing about the Bible is if you look throughout the Old Testament, there are seven words in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language that God uses to define the word praise or the word worship. And I'm going to talk to you about one of those words. If you want to go and kind of like research that, there's this book by Chris Tomlin called Holy Roar that you can go and check out. It kind of lays out all the seven different words. But anyways, I'm going to be talking to you about one of the words, which is zamar. And zamar means musical worship. And so that's really the topic that we're going to go at this morning is I'm going to share with you guys, what does it mean to worship? What does it mean to worship musically and how can that affect our faith? So I think the first question we have to answer this morning is what exactly is worship? And I believe that worship is an encounter with God. And so before we talk about this music side of things, like I just want to tell you everything you do as a follower of Jesus should be a form of worship. Your job should be worship. Your relationship should be worship. Your conversation should be worship. Basically everything you do should be worship because we were created to worship and everything we do as followers of Jesus should flow out of that. So I'm going to talk to you about musical worship though. And I want to start by saying like music is everywhere, right? We live in a culture where everywhere we go, we hear music. We go to church, we hear music. We go to restaurants, we hear music. We go to sporting events, we hear music. We go to family gatherings, you hear music. Everywhere you go, you hear music. And I think that that's not really a coincidence. I think that God is smart enough to know, like, when he created the world, he saw this thing called music, and he saw that thing is going to be used for people to connect. And he said, I'm going to use that for people to connect to me. And so I think that's a beautiful thing that God saw that and he's ready and he wanted to use it. That's amazing. And God knew that how big of an impact music was going to have on our culture and he decided to use it. And for me and my relationship with God, music has played an important part of my walk with Christ. And I remember when I was in 10th grade, I was just kind of like, I grew up in the church, but I was just kind of like starting to jump into this whole idea of actually following Jesus. And Overflow took us to this thing called National Day of Prayer. And it was a crazy big event. It was like the biggest event I had been to at that point in my life. It was like 15, 20,000 people were there. It was crazy. There were different artists that came up and sang songs and led people into worship. And I remember like throughout the whole night, I constantly saw people putting their hands up in worship. And I remember thinking to myself, whoa, what are you doing? Like, why are people doing that? And I didn't have any idea what it was because I grew up in the Catholic Church and they don't have any fun. I'm kidding. But I seriously had no idea what it was. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to do that if if I don't know what it is. And so this last woman came onto stage, and she was like about to lead people to worship. And she started, her name was Carrie Jobe. If you've ever heard of her, she's amazing. She's an incredible artist. But Carrie Jobe, hey. So she basically started reading my mind. She was like, this is what it means to raise your hands in worship. We do this to surrender to God, to say that we're not good enough, that we can't do this on our own, that we need you, and all these different things. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And then she invited us all to lift our hands in worship. And in that moment, I really felt like this was the first time that I connected with God through music. And it was really a special time for me. And I believe that there are times in your life where you can look back and point out like, oh my gosh, this is where God used music in my life. This is where I feel like I was really connecting with God through music. And it's such a special, special thing that we get to do to worship God through music. And actually, we live in a culture where music is everywhere. And so I believe that as the church, this is kind of the topic that I'm going to go towards this morning, because music is so accessible to us, we have become so familiar with it. And that's come into our worship, and we've become familiar with our worship, and we've allowed it to lose its power. And so, like, if you think about music in general, if we lived in a world where there was no music, everything would be different. Church would be different, movies would be different, TV would be different, Netflix would be different, traveling would be different. Like, I can't think of a thing in our lives that would remain the same if we removed music out of it. Music plays such an important part of our culture and about this whole thing that we call life. And so because of that, we take advantage of the fact that we have music. We take advantage of the fact that we get to come. We even take advantage of the fact that we get to come into this place and worship through song. And I just want to remind you guys, like, every time you step into a church, whether it's here or a different church or whatever, like, we are stepping into an atmosphere of worship because the living God is with us. He is here and he is for us. And that's such an amazing, amazing thing. And we got to constantly be reminding ourselves of that, because when we're constantly around music, when we are constantly hearing music, it's so easy to stop and forget what we're actually doing. It's so easy to forget, like, I am in the presence of God right now. I am worshiping the Almighty right now. That this isn't just like a church thing that I'm just doing just to show up, just to have some fun, to sing some songs, to play some church games, that we're actually here to encounter God. And I think because of how accessible music is, we forget that sometimes. And so, well, that's what I'm talking about this morning, is this idea of familiarity. This idea of how we have allowed music and worship become so familiar that we've actually lost its power. We've actually lost its power. So the title of my message this morning is, It's Not a Routine. Father, I thank you for this church, for what you're doing here. And God, I just pray that you will allow me to deliver this message in the way that you want it to be delivered. And God, that your name will be glorified above everything else. Allow these words to reach our hearts and change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message is, It's Not a Routine. And I chose that because, not because routines are bad. I think that routines can be really good. Like, I have a routine every morning to wake up, read the Bible for 30 minutes. Every Sunday, go to church. I have these routines in place. But the reason that those routines are effective is because my heart is in it. My heart is in those routines, that it's a healthy routine. But if your routine is to come to church every Sunday, but it's like, I'll just, like, you know, just show up because I feel like I have to. I feel like this is just what I have to do because I don't want my family or friends to think that I'm slipping up. I don't want these things to take, I don't want people to cast judgments on me. I just feel like I have to do this. If that's what your routine is, that is not good. Let me tell you, God does not care about your church attendance. God cares about the nature of your heart. And so I'm not telling you not to come to church. I'm telling you that you need to make sure that your heart is in check. And that's really where I'm going this morning. But before I do that, I want to share just a brief story with you guys. This past week was my birthday, and it was an awesome time. And I remember that God was reminding me of the amazing people that are in my life. He was reminding me, just showing me, Joey, you have some amazing, amazing people in your life. And I was almost taking advantage of these people, saying, well, I wish I had more people. I wish I had different people. I wish that there was others that I could connect with. And he was just showing me, you've got so many. You're taking advantage of them because you're so familiar with them. And how many people realize that the things in our lives that we are most connected with, our friends, our family, our jobs, our cars, the things that we are most familiar with are the things that we're so quick to say, that's not good enough. That's what we cast out right away because we've become so familiar with it that we take advantage of it. We take advantage of it. And I feel that we've done the same thing with worship and with church and in the atmosphere that we step into here and we're like, I've been here for 30 years. I've been coming to the same church with the same people for 15, 20, 30 years and I haven't missed a Sunday. And that's great. That's great. But how's your heart? Is your heart good? Is your heart in that? Are you worshiping? Are you experiencing God in that? And I pray that it is. And if it is, that's amazing. But if it's not, we've got to go somewhere. We've got to change something. We can't allow ourselves to stay in the same routine just because it's what we're used to. We've got to allow ourselves to be changed from the inside out. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. And there's the story that I'm going to share this morning from the Bible. The disciples do this so well. They don't allow themselves to become familiar with the presence of God. And so that's what I'm going to be reading out of Luke 19, verses 37 to 40. And while you go there, I'll give you a little bit of context for this scripture. So what's happening here is Jesus had just told his disciples, hey, I'm going back to Jerusalem. And Peter was like, bro, what are you doing? You just almost died last time you were there. And he's like, get behind me, Satan. Come on, man. Let me do the will of God. And so he tells people that, and then he goes to Jerusalem, and he's kind of entering into this almost like a party, a welcoming party. And what's happening as we're jumping into this story is people are like, yeah, Jesus, come destroy all the Romans, kick them out. And that's not at all what he was coming to do, but that's what people thought. He was coming to die on the cross. And so that's where we're picking up in verse 37. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. I want to highlight that verse because it's important that we realize, like, these were the people, this was Jesus's crew. These were the people that was with him all the time. They followed him. They loved him so much. These were the people that saw him turn water into wine. The people that saw him walk on water. The people that saw him heal people. That eyes were open, ears were open. He saw limbs be changed. He saw these things take place. All these disciples saw this. And then, the important thing is here, is they didn't become comfortable with that and just say, oh, that's cool. I'm over it, though. That's what we do. But these guys said, no, Jesus, I saw you do that, and I'm going to see you do something again and again and again, and I'm never going to become comfortable with you because I believe that you want to do something new every time I encounter you. And that's a special thing that these people are doing because they never allow themselves to become familiar with the presence of God. No matter how many miracles they've seen, they're always experiencing something new because their heart is saying, I've seen you move, now do it again. That's really what's happening here. And their heart is amazing in this. And that's what I want our hearts to be like. And so they praise him saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And I think that this is a special, special scripture because basically what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, hey, I want humans to worship me. But if you won't worship me the way that I want you to, if you won't worship me the way that I demand to be worshiped, creation will cry out. Rocks will cry out. Trees will cry out. Mountains will cry out. I don't think that this is one of those things where Jesus was, where we could just say, well, he was just saying that. He didn't actually mean that. No, I actually believe that Jesus is saying, I am so good that something happens, has to worship me. And if you don't, creation will. Jesus is telling the Pharisees when they try to rebuke him, something's got to worship me. Either it's going to be humans or it's going to be creation. What do you want? And that's what I want. I want it to be us. I don't know about you. I don't want to become so familiar with our worship and so familiar with the presence of God that we let it lose its power. I want every time we step into an atmosphere of worship that we begin to see life change take place, that we begin to see mountains be moved, that situations are changed, that every time we enter the presence of God, we have the opportunity to actually encounter God. Because that's the truth of the gospel, right? That's what we get to do. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so don't allow yourself to become comfortable with the presence of God. Allow God to do something new every time you enter it. And another thing I want to point out here is don't listen to the people in your lives that are trying to tell you to stop worshiping God. Because the Pharisees, they told the disciples and they told Jesus, they said, stop it. Stop worshiping God. And Jesus responds and he says, No, they're not going to stop and I'm not going to tell them to stop. And so there's going to be people in your life who are going to tell you, stop worshiping God. Why are you still worshiping God in the midst of your failure, in the midst of your regret, in the midst of a financial crisis, in the midst of a diagnosis, in the midst of a death? There's going to be people in your life who are going to constantly be telling you that God isn't good because of your situation. But I'm telling you that God is good regardless of your situation and that he's for you. And so never stop worshiping God just because people in your life are trying to tell you to stop. That's what I want you to see this morning, is that we can't allow our circumstances to define what our worship looks like. Our worship is always new and always fresh because of God, because of who God is, not because of who we are, right? So that's kind of where what I'm seeing in this scripture, and I want to take us to this question. So how do we know what it looks like to actually worship God? I think that that's the real question, is how do we know what it looks like to worship God? Because my fear is that we have become a church, not just this church, but the big church. That we have become a church that we become so familiar with God that routine is actually killing us. That routine is killing Christians. And that's my fear. Because routine is what we call religion. But worship is what we call a relationship. And that's really what I want us to understand this morning, is that when we're caught in a routine that is not life-giving, all we're doing is we're telling ourselves, I have to do this to be so that God will love me. I have to do this so that Christians will see that I'm not slipping. I have to do this so that I can be right standing with God. But that's not at all what the gospel says. The gospel says you don't have to do anything. I've already done it for you. And so that's what we need to understand, is that Jesus has paid the ultimate price. And if we as followers of Jesus have understood the gospel and understood the fact that Jesus took our place on the cross and that every drop of blood that he bled was for you, and that he's saying, I love you so much that I will die for you so that you may have life, and that if he actually rose from the grave so that we may have life, if he's done that, if we've accepted that as the truth, that the hard reality is that we can't respond with comfortable worship. We can't respond with this routine religional worship. The only answer to that response, the only thing that we can do to respond to those truths, is we've got to be real and authentic with our worship in everything that we do. And so if we are just coming to church, if we're just here, if we're just, I mark it off the list for the week, if we're just doing that, what you're doing is a waste of time. There's no life in that. And I'm not telling you not to come to church, but I'm telling you that why would you come here for an hour and just sit here and be here? Why would you do that? I mean, you can go be somewhere else. I mean, there's no difference of just showing up and not encountering God here and then just showing up and going to Perkins and not encountering God. But if we want to be a church that's going to see life change take place, and if you actually want to encounter God, I have the answer for you. So let's go to that answer. So the question is, how do we know if our worship is real and authentic? The answer, I believe, is found in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And if you've grown up in the church at all, I'm sure you've heard this set of scripture, but we're going to look at this. Romans 12 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we know if our worship is true and authentic? The answer is, if we are a living sacrifice for God, we are worshiping. If we are a living sacrifice for God, we are worshiping. And so how do we become a living sacrifice for God? We align our hearts and we align our minds with the Father. That's the answer. If you want to worship God in a fuller context, put your heart with God and put your mind with God. That's going to lead you to a sense of worship that you've never experienced. So how do we do that? How do we do that? And what I really, the word that I think we need to focus on here is we need to renew our minds. Renew our minds and renew our hearts. That's what we've got to do. We've got to take those things that are in our lives, because so often we show up to church and we're like, well, Joey, I want to worship God this morning, but I've got this diagnosis coming in that I'm worried about. Well, Joey, I want to worship God this morning, but my friends and my family have been pushing me away lately, and I'm so focused on it. Well, Joey, I want to worship God, but I'm having problems in my relationships with my wife or my husband or my friend or my girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever it is. There's so often we come into church with these things, and we say, I can't worship because I've got too much going on. And I'll tell you, well, why don't you just give that to Jesus and stop worrying about that? Why don't you just say, I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you're good and that you're for me and that you're gonna come through, and just say, all right, I'm gonna lay that down. I'm gonna put it at the feet of Jesus. I'm gonna lay it at the cross, and I'm gonna worship God regardless of what's going on in my life. That's what we've got to do. If you want to renew your mind and renew your heart, ask the Father to do that. Ask him to renew it so that you're not coming into worship with so many things going on and feeling like you're pulled in a 20 different directions, but actually you can actually encounter the Father's heart. That's how we do it. And so that's what I want for you. If you want to worship, your heart and your mind have got to be aligned with God. That's what we have to do. And so this isn't like, I know this sounds a lot easier said than done. And I want to encourage you and say that it's possible. It's not like this far out thing. Jesus wouldn't tell us to do this. He wouldn't tell us to renew our minds if he wasn't being serious. He wouldn't be like, all right, renew your mind. Just kidding, you can. No, that's not what God does. God says you can do this and it's available for you, so do it. So walk in that identity. And so that's really what I want us to do. And I just want to encourage you and think about that time in your life, where you came into worship feeling like you had a renewed mind. Feeling like your heart and your mind was aligned with God, and you came in, you're like, man, Jesus is so good. I'm ready to worship you. I'm ready to just give you everything. I'm gonna go all out for this next hour. I'm just gonna worship you. And exactly what happened at the end of that service, you left feeling, dang, Jesus is good. He spoke to me. He showed me something new. He showed up in that place. And that's amazing. And then also think about that time when you show up at worship and you're just like, dang, I got so much going on right now, I don't want to be here. I don't want to focus on anything right now, but I have to. I feel like I have to. Maybe somebody's making you go or whatever the circumstance is. I just feel like I have to. And then you leave that place feeling, dang, God didn't move. What's going on? I don't really understand. Why wouldn't you show up? And we almost get mad at God for not moving when we're saying no. Because I'm not telling you God won't move when your heart is in that place, because he's God, he can do whatever he wants. But I believe that if we, it's a lot easier for God to move when we're saying yes, God, than when we're saying no, God, right? And so that's what we need to understand, is that if we put our hearts in that place with God, you will see things move. I can promise you that if you show up with that mindset and that heart posture every single Sunday, you're going to see the Lord move in ways that you didn't even think were possible. So, but before, I'm going to close with this story. So a few months ago, I was on this mission trip with Crossroads Church, with the youth ministry, with our middle schoolers, and it was really special. But the first, like, most of the week, actually, every time we entered into an atmosphere of worship, I remember this lie what kept coming up from my heart. This lie was, nothing's going to happen today. The worship, God's not going to move. And I just kept trying to shake it, and it just kept coming back. And I remember I was really struggling and really fighting with that. And I was like, well, God, are you really even calling me to be here, or what's going on? And it was totally, totally a lie. And what was happening was, in my heart, the worship was not the way that I liked it, and the messages were not the way that I liked it. And so I was saying, well, God can't move in that way, because my heart was not actually worshiping God. My heart was worshiping the idea of worship. And some of us, that's where we're at, really. Some of us are, I can only worship God to a certain song or a certain type of music, or I can only listen to certain kinds of messages. And some of us are actually not worshiping God, but we're worshiping an idea of God, or we're worshiping a song of God. And so I just tell you that, and because the end of this story was, basically what happened was, throughout the week, these lies kept coming up, but I started to see God move. And at the end of the week, I saw God move in a way I've never seen him move in my whole life. And so it was like a community hangout, and there was a man there who had a broken leg, and he was really messed up. He had gotten mugged. He had gotten everything stolen from him, his wallet, his phone, his jacket. He was trying to get home, but because his dad had just died, but his mom lived really far away, and he didn't have a car, and he was just trying to get home. And I started talking to him and started hearing his story, and my heart was for him. My heart was for him. My mind was for him, and I was aligned with the Father in that moment. And exactly what happened was this. I said, "Hey, Merle, I believe that the Lord wants to show you his love for you in this. He wants to heal your leg." And he's like, "Okay." He wasn't a Christian. And I was like, "All right, can I just pray for you?" And he said, "Yes," and prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, he almost started yelling at me. He was like, "What are you doing to my leg? What are you doing? What's going on?" And he literally like stood up and was like jumping around on his leg, his broken leg who had been completely healed. And he was like, "What's going on?" I was like, "Dude, Jesus just loves you a lot." And some of you might be thinking, "Well, that can't be real. Like, it was just in his head or whatever. Like, that doesn't happen anymore." But I'm telling you, it happens. Jesus is crazy. He changes lives. But I don't tell you that because it's a cool story, but I tell you that when we align our hearts and align our minds with God, you're going to see things take place that you've never seen before. And that's exactly what happened in that moment, that my heart, my mind was aligned with heaven, was aligned with God, and heaven broke out. And so that's what I actually think could take place here. That if we do that, if we align our heart and align our mind with God, heaven will break out here. That the holy fire of God is going to fall down on this place. That there will be an atmosphere of worship where new people, non-believers and believers, will walk in and feel, "Oh my gosh, Jesus is here." And they might not even know it, but there's an atmosphere, and that's really what it's all about. So let's put ourselves in that mindset, put ourselves in that heart posture, and just allow God to renew it and believe that he's going to do something new in worship every single Sunday. Amen?